Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt. Two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's Bit Season, what a time to be alive. Bit Season, couple of regular guys. It's Bit Season, go have yourself a laugh. It's Bit Season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, welcome to Bit Season, everybody. This is episode 184. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Hope everyone's having a great week. We have finally made it to week one of the college football season. And if you're a degenerate like Matt and I are, you'll be betting your brains out this weekend. Hope that account is swole.
That's right.
I'm barely making through my U.S. Open bets right now. My account is dwindling.
You know what? It's perfect for outdoor TV weather right now.
I can't believe the weather. I'm starting off with weather talk.
Well, you mentioned
it's usually 95 degrees right now.
Well, you mentioned the games, and I had big plans to watch the Terps on Saturday outdoors. Just kind of set it up on the patio and enjoy everything. That noon brisk weather.
You're gonna sit there it's not gonna be brisk. I don't think, but it would be nice.
It would be nice. Yes.
You're going to sit there and watch 3.5 hours of Maryland take on Florida Atlantic?
I am.
A real barn burner?
I am.
Two powerhouses?
I'm psyched for Malik.
Don't they play at noon?
Yeah, they play at noon.
You're going to watch that over Texas, Ohio State. I don't believe it.
I bleed Terrapin red.
Is that your guys' official colors? I don't even know.
No, it was red, white, and gold.
Oh, you don't
and black.
Have...
Raise high the black and gold.
No. Oh, they don't do anything like terrapin red or anything like that?
No, none of that nonsense.
Another week of junkies. Thankfully, as you guys all are probably feeling the same, the Terry stuff is behind us. Still a lot of football talk on the junkies, just the way it goes. Open line Thursday today, though, so we got away from it a little bit on the show.
I would like our listeners to know that even though it is... college and pro football ramp up week one and everything, we are still putting in lifestyle stories in the rundown, you know, just so people know that we're not trying to schedule 12 segments of week one breakdowns.
The junkies, if they don't like it, they're just gonna
gloss
talk
right
about
over
Micah Parsons for a few times or whatever, you know.
I don't want people to be like, especially if they're listening for the stories and for the entertainment page, you know what I mean? All the lifestyle stories, current event talk that we're not trying to put it down their throat.
So we did make some progress this week with the Survivor pool. And it looks like, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Junks, having, what do they call them? Silent partners. But it's better than not doing the Survivor pool.
I know.
In my opinion. It makes me a little
upset, but then I realize that I'd rather have the segment than not have the segment. Like, I feel like it's unfair to JP and Cakes. JP and Cakes, I feel like, understand the segment more than Eric and Jason. And then that's why they're willing to easily fork over their money to get in it. But there's something to it where there's not that much cachet if like the guys are not putting in their own cash. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't mean as much to Eric and Jason as it would to JP and Cakes since they're putting their own money in.
Yeah. And you know what? I can't believe he's using Cowboy Todd as his silent partner. For some reason, that bothers me.
It bothers me as well.
First off, like, I love Todd, but he's just a whore. He'll just go to anybody to get attention. Whoever will give him some.
Hey, he's the OG Rom.
He really is. I mean, he just... And Jason... then taking money from Cowboy Todd. I guess it's only like 125 bucks.
I don't know
if he's paying for half of it.
I don't know what their deal is, but if Jason's taking $250 from Todd, like, Jason should feel like a little sheepish about it.
I guess they're 50-50, but what, like, we got to listen to who, we got to figure out who Cowboy Todd, who, what his pick is every week, and in fact, they got to factor that into the equation.
Yeah.
Or whoever, Cooper Nord, or whoever EB Silent Partner is. Like, nobody cares about, no offense to Todd, but nobody cares about that. The whole segment is supposed to be the four of them arguing against each other.
And also, if you think that Jason and Eric will not take any influence from the people who are sponsoring them for the segment, I feel like you're delusional, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if me and you had someone who would pay $500 for us to do the thing, to do the Survivor pool, you would probably listen to him.
Because then you would feel bad if you went against the award and you got knocked out.
It's human nature to have some sort of empathy towards the person who's funding your whole Survivor pool.
So I want the four. Here's, if you want to know when Matt and Drab die a little inside each time, it's going to be every Monday morning when Lurch says, "Oh, we're going to take the Rams this week, aren't we?" Everyone's on the, and then tries to blow the pick before, well before Thursday at 9:20 a.m. or whenever we do this.
Yeah,
because he just can't keep it in his pants and realize the suspense. Yeah.
That's gonna be our Survivor pool selection.
Yeah,
and then they're playing the Who,
and then one of them will go, I don't know about that. Okay. So
also, I did feel bad for Cakes a little bit today because they tried to pin the entire week one loss last year on him.
I know. It's impossible to pin it all on one person.
That's the whole point of the of having all four of them do the Survivor pool.
That it's on everyone.
Yes.
It's a group effort.
One for all for one.
Are we
doing the rank? Have we talked about this? Are we doing the ranking system this year where they number like their strongest, I mean, as like 1, 2, and 3.
If they don't come to a, if they're not like all four of them,
right,
comes to
a consensus
on who they want, okay, then they're gonna have to figure that out. But
also,
they know that they got about a, you know, max two segments to fill it out, and we submit those picks on Thursdays, don't we? There's no waiting.
I'm gonna have to read the fine print, but I'm pretty sure it has to be Saturday by
No. Noon. But what we're not doing is we're not going back to the proxy and saying, oh, wait till Friday, like, or coming back on Friday, we need to talk about it more. Like, the segment is Thursdays at 9:20. Like, they got, before the end of the show, they got to come to a conclusion.
All right, I will say,
don't let them out of that.
All right, I will say, there might be a caveat to this. If two of them are really one-sided and the other two are really one-sided and it's a really good strong debate, I don't mind carrying it over.
No, they got because you're trying to make an impact at that time. Like, the next day is a totally different audience, okay, at different times. You're going to lose it no matter what. And that's why we have the voting system.
All right.
So we haven't done that in the past. That's bad. Like, they will abuse that. And then because the whole point is, like, the moment is them arguing together and coming to a conclusion and not sleeping on it. Because then there's no payoff for the people who've already been listening.
That's true.
You know, because then they won't hear it the next day, and it's kind of unfair to them. So I think we need to agree that they got to stick with it.
One more thing about the Survivor pool. I am amazed. I'm amazed by this, that we have a listener who, for, I want to say, 3 years now,
mm-hmm,
she's been basically collecting the money for this, meeting the proxy, because you have to sign up in person. She lives in Vegas, drives to the strip. We trust her with the money. She pays the person, signs up everything, make sure it's all on board, doesn't mess up anything. And then boom, we're in the Circus Survivor pool.
I don't understand.
It's just crazy to me.
What is the proxy doing?
So the proxy.
Why do we have two people in Vegas working on this? Why couldn't we just do it with one?
Well, that means she would have to go in and put this in by hand every single week.
Mm-hmm. Why?
And
why?
Then,
well, why is she doing it the first week? Why isn't the proxy doing it the first week?
Because the proxies aren't they're not allowed to be signing up people. Like, you have to go to the casino to do it.
I thought that was their whole system. That if you want to play and you're from out of state, they'll get you a proxy who will set everything up for you.
I don't know. This is just how we've done this. Okay. We've done it successfully like this for 3 years.
Yeah. I don't know how it works. I just know that you give the play to somebody and they put it in.
You know what? Bothers me about this Circa Survivor pool is how Jason doesn't understand. So Jason's whole premise is, I don't want to pay for this because all we do is lose. You go, okay. Well, all you do is lose. I understand it's the light at the end of the tunnel, a $12 million payout. All right, I get it. It's not hard. It's not hard to see that from Jason. But there's different ways you can win than coming in first in a survivor pool. And I don't understand this. That's he being such a gambler, him not understanding that there's an auction market for your ticket if you want to sell it. Say you're in,
you know what? So I was kind of Rick at you for putting that in there. Like that can't be an option. That's not an option. I'm sorry, but if they go on a run and it's Thanksgiving, they're not selling their ticket. We're not allowing them to sell their ticket. They have plenty. We can't allow them to do that.
But I know. But I'm just saying there's other options to make money.
I know, but
money.
Wouldn't that defeat the whole reason, of us doing this?
What would be optimal?
I don't care about Jason Bishop making 14 grand.
One optimal thing that would be him hedging every week, right?
Eventually they can start doing that towards the end.
Yes.
If they were actually in it.
Honestly, he could hedge from week one. And then just roll it over, roll it over, roll it over, roll it over. But it's just, it crushes me for Jason to think that he has to get to week 18 and still be alive in order to win in the Circa Survivor pool.
If he wants to do something on his own and bet against himself or whatever, I guess I have no problem with that. You can't stop him from doing that anyways. But it needs to be in the fine print. They cannot sell the ticket. Because that is a massive that would be a massive disappointment to the listeners.
Should we have a discussion on air about it?
Sure, we'll tell them. We should tell. Yeah, or not. Yeah, or they can sign themselves up.
We'll say. All right. So the meet is scheduled for 8 o'clock Saturday morning with the proxy and everything's going to be taken care of. But beforehand, we want to inform you guys. The fine print is that you guys are not allowed to sell your Circa Survivor ticket. If you guys are in week 12, that is forbidden.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Right. Do you know how exciting that would be for everyone?
Of course.
Be living and dying with every possession.
It would be
week
4
12.
It would be 4 hours of Survivor talk.
It would be 4 hours. We would never talk Commanders. We would talk about the Survivor. It would be amazing. Kind of. But also, yeah.
And can you imagine the tension? The tension would be outstanding.
So one of the things that it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do it, but what we really want to do, and I'm going to hope that we can have this for next year, because I didn't know that this existed.
Yeah, this
until
is
very recently.
This is
okay?
I think so, this is our end game. I feel like
this is probably the last year of Circa Survivor.
I feel like 2 years ago we kind of broached the idea, kind of discovered it. This year, we kind of dove more into it and found out there are some things we can, some things we can't do. But I'm excited for this idea.
Well, we had the idea for this, but I didn't know that there was a place out there that would host it, basically. So the dream, I think, for us is to get out of the Circa Survivor pool and have a local junkie survivor pool, okay, with... When I say local, I just mean anybody that listens to the junkies show. Can get into it. And this is kind of what I was thinking. So like 2 weeks ago, I discovered a site or a business that actually runs these things, and they can make them. You can have up to like 1,000 people or more in these survivor pools. Mm-hmm. They take the money. They pay out the money. They have other celebrities doing them.
Yeah, I was going to say there are endorsements from other
Cousin Sal. Kimmel does it.
Kelly in Vegas does one.
Has it. CBS Sports, I think, promotes it. Right? So I wish I discovered this in June, and I don't know why. But it was just too late, probably too late in the game for us to get it approved by our legal team. Plus, there's this huge cloud's the wrong word, but overarching thing that we have business with other sports gambling apps and all that we don't want to take money away from. And they pay us a lot. They station a lot of money. So everything's money comes first, and we understand that. And we don't have a business relationship with this other people that could actually host it. But the idea of having like 1,000 junkies listeners. Okay. And I think we could get to 1,000. Even if they're loose, you know, P6s, all right? They're just gambling addicts who are no...
You know, friends of P1s.
Friends
of
P1s.
Yeah. Or you know what? Even, say, Drive wants to have 3 entries into this.
Yeah, or you could have a couple entries for sure. Then we'd probably really fill it up. So say you pay $110 into the Survivor pool. $10 goes to the company. So you got $100 into the pool from each person. You have 1,000 Junkies listeners. Mm-hmm. 1 grand prize.
Yeah.
$100,000. All right.
Yeah, not tiered.
Not tiered.
Winner take all.
$100,000, way less than what the Circa is. But $100,000 to an actual Junkies listener.
Yeah, that's...
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Plus... The party, the watch party that we could have at the end with, you know, the final 6 yeah. of you guys or 3 or whoever yeah. it is.
I like to envision Cakes handing over some big novelty check to one of our listeners.
And plus, all of us would be in it ourselves. We yeah. would all enter into it. And that is the dream. And maybe if it would be so successful, we could continue to grow and blow past 1,000 people.
It could be, I feel like, one of the... The new Junkies Poker Open. Stick with me here. We could do like a start of the season. Remember when we went to MGM and we watched the games mm-hmm. and everything? And we have like kind of like a start of the season in-person sign up that day. And then we bookend the Survivor by like the week 18 watch party where we crown the winner in the sports book or at the sports bar.
Yeah, it could be a yearly tenant big umbrella segment thing that we do every single year and just gets to get bigger and bigger. Our version of the Wing Bowl or whatever they had in Philadelphia all those years. Yeah.
And then first year, say we get 1,000. Next year, all of a sudden, we got 1,500. It grows to 3,000.
Yeah, you wouldn't need to be in person. This would be done all online.
Yeah, I know, but we're just celebrating the start of it.
The start of the season, yeah.
Yeah, and they would take in-person entries there.
So maybe we talked about that before, but now it's a real possibility. We just didn't have enough time to get it all together. But for next year, fingers crossed, that will be the new Survivor. It will be, and, oh, this is what I want to do. This is actually, I wanted it to be...
Loser's Lounge.
I wanted to call it Junkies Loser's Lounge because the whole thing is the Junkies can never pick winners, right? They can't pick it. So you just got to pick the loser. It's the same premise. You just pick a loser every week instead of a winner, and you can't reuse them.
Yes, you survive by picking the losing team.
I think it would be amazing and great content for the show. And what's $100? I mean, $250, I understand. $100.
You know what would be great, too, is if it's one of the listeners that we interact with on Twitter or that have come to appearances or mm-hmm. been like a lifelong listener.
Oh, we'll get them on the phone every week.
Yeah,
we'll have them make their, towards the end.
Yeah. What are you thinking this week?
Yeah, right. it's gonna be phenomenal. I just don't think we had enough time to get it going this year. Even though Matt and I kind of want to do a private game. We could definitely sign up for that. Maybe we will do a private Survivor game with like 50 of you guys. I don't know. Still got time here.
Yeah, definitely.
I think speaking of football, one of the big stories of the week was Travis Kelce's engagement to Taylor Swift.
Drab's so excited for it.
Well, you were like giddy about it.
I'm kind of giddy. I'm kind of giddy.
It's kind of your bit. It has become my bit.
I get a kick out of it because I for whatever reason. Jason, I don't know why, Jason, like, hates it, right? And he was, like, one of the biggest Taylor Swift fans in the world. And now he can't stand it because I think he's so inundated with the coverage anytime the Chiefs are on TV.
Yeah, but Bickle was the one who was saying, I hate him. I hate him. Over and I'm like, dude, I can understand, like, if you're annoyed by the coverage of it or you just don't really care. But... who hates? I mean, it's just so stupid. It's so immature to hate Travis Kelce
because hate a person that you've never really
he never met. And he was calling him stupid. Meanwhile, Eric calling someone stupid. Like Eric says the dumbest stuff in the world. Whether it's a bit or not, none of us really ever know.
In my defense, but, I called him a lunk.
Yeah, why
as well.
Are you calling him stupid? Like
no, but I'm calling that because I've actually watched the interview. Like Eric has no concept of how he talks or and or how he interacts.
I know,
with
but
her.
You, I don't even think what the Travis Kelce you're seeing on a video with Taylor Swift or his podcast is probably the real Travis Kelce.
Well, that's what I've seen. I've determined right. that from what I've seen. I thought it was embarrassing when he was fawning all over her for using big words, and they're not big words.
Turns out you were kind of wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean they had just gotten engaged when they cut that podcast. Of course, he's going to be fawning all over her. You misread it. Like, of course, he was so giddy and lovey-dovey because they just got engaged, or he was about to propose, or whatever.
You didn't know that at the time.
I know, but you jumped to conclusions on him. And of course, like when you first get engaged, you're going to be, oh, this is so wonderful, like. You were like, oh, this guy's, he's a simp. You were calling him a simp or a cock or whatever you were calling him.
I was calling him a simp.
Nah, he's in love. He's a new, they're in love. They just get a new milestone in their relationship.
When you, hold on. When she uses esoteric and he goes, oh, babe, you're so smart.
I mean, I don't know what esoteric means. Am I a meathead?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I would say, babe, you're so smart, but
that's not a word I use
very often.
That's what I was commenting on.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. What are you trying to say?
I saw you when you forgot the day after you got engaged, and you were all lovey-dovey too. I'm so in love. This is so special. Best time of my life.
I'm sure it said anything.
I walked away from that lunch when you were in that flounder. I was like, this guy's kind of gay.
whatever.
It's kind of embarrassing the way you're acting.
Yeah, that's not tartar sauce all over his mouth. What are you talking about?
You were doing the same thing Travis Kelce was doing.
All right. Okay. I'm the most revisionist history.
I remember it well. It was just a few couple, two months, 3 months ago.
That's the most revisionist history I've ever seen in my life.
Not at all.
Why? I'm trying to understand this.
Here's what it comes down to. I think it's stupid that Eric Bickle doesn't know a thing about Travis Kelce, but hates his guts because he did a Pfizer commercial 5 years ago
I don't hate Travis Kelce.
Who cares? I mean, I know. Then I saw these people are tweeting me. I guess I shouldn't say who cares, but like, God, it's just so annoying. I hate politics. Travis Kelce's done, like, he's probably a good guy, a fine guy. I mean, people hate him because it's just so stupid. Like, I'm so moved past that part of my life to think about. I can't even tell you outside of thinking it was that yesterday, the last time I thought of vaccines.
Okay.
I literally have not thought about it in three and a half years.
Thank you. But also, I find it very hypocritical. If Pfizer went to Eric Bickle and said, hey, will you do this commercial for $2 million? You think Eric would hold his ground and say,
well, I mean, maybe,
no.
Oh, maybe he would, but I know Cakes would. Is he going to hate Cakes? Is he going to hate JP? I mean, everybody has different opinions. We all know this. 50-50. You just can't go around hating people because they're on the other team. It's so stupid.
And by the way, you act like anyone acts like someone knew about the ramifications of it. Nobody knew anything about it.
I don't know. By that point, I don't even care. Yeah. But like the three other guys in the room would all take $2 million.
Or however much it was to do
Yes. I mean, it's so annoying to me, but whatever. I mean,
all right. Well, I'm glad you
hate half the country if you want. I just get so annoyed by it. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I don't even know how you could. It was like a one-time thing. I haven't heard one word of Travis Kelce's. I don't even know. He maybe likes Trump. Maybe he just liked the vaccine or getting paid for it. I have no idea. I have no idea what Travis Kelce thinks politically other than he did a vaccine commercial. It's so stupid. It just drives me insane. It drives me insane.
Can I just say for
that's what I was getting at. I was so annoyed by it, but I just wanted Bickle to embarrass himself on the air by saying he hates Travis Kelce because he did a commercial.
Can I just add to the record? I don't hate Travis Kelce. I just pointed out an observation. I don't hate Travis Kelce.
No, I know you have a different angle. You're doing more of a humorous, like he's a bitch.
Yes, he's doing Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader TV shows. How am I not supposed to think he's dumb?
Well, he's doing something right. He's got the world's most famous girl.
He's probably got and the biggest cock I've ever seen in my life.
And a very famous... also, EB, I think, called him ugly. I mean, what is he talking about? I mean, I don't know necessarily what makes a good-looking guy and not, but Travis Kelce's not an ugly guy. They had a TV show like 10 years ago about dating the Kelces or something, didn't they?
Yes, they had like a joint.
Come on, he's a good-looking guy.
Hey, speaking of the Kelces, I want you to think about this scenario, okay? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, all right, being on Tinder, okay? Going and then looking for your boyfriend, looking for your husband, mm-hmm. whatever. You're on the dating app, and then all of a sudden, 5 years later, you're the sister-in-law to Taylor Swift, Jason Kelce's wife. Okay,
is that how they met? Tinder?
Met on Tinder.
Jason Kelce was on Tinder.
Jason Kelce was on Tinder.
Okay. Not even Raya. He was on Tinder.
Yeah, he was on Tinder.
Uh-huh.
All right. Their first date. He invited her to like an Eagles like team function with like players' wives and everything. Mm-hmm. It was at a bar.
That's a risky first date.
It was, and then like she thought she was being catfished, and apparently her like roommates or friends were saying, dude, that's Jason Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
And so she ended up meeting Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce, blackout drunk at this during the first date. Okay. Probably had 20 beers.
Yeah.
All right. And now
garage
and,
beers.
Yeah. And now their husband and wife have kids and everything. And everyone,
well, that just goes to show that it didn't matter what he did on that first date. That he played for the Eagles was all she needed to know.
Maybe. But they seem like a happy couple.
Well, I mean, to get the second date. If any of us got blackout drunk on a first date, we're not getting a second date.
Yeah, we'd be on the T app.
Yeah.
But like fast forward 5 years from now, now Taylor Swift is her sister-in-law. Tell me that's not wild.
Pretty crazy life. Yeah.
You're some Philly trash from Delco. All right. And now
you love Delco.
It's the only suburb I know of Philly. But can you imagine that?
No. I mean, that's funny the way that life works sometimes.
Wild.
Yep.
I was reading this. Do you have any idea how happy I am that I got engaged before Taylor Swift?
Why? Why would it matter?
Well, I'm just saying girls, mm-hmm. all right, if you're dating their boyfriend for X amount of years,
mm-hmm.
say you're dating for 4 years, all right, and then all of a sudden Taylor Swift gets engaged. I saw this online. And what?
Okay.
The amount of pressure those dudes are going to be under.
Why would there be pressure?
Because it's the engagement of the century that people are calling it.
Well, again, I don't think it's the engagement of the century, but it's probably up there. It's not for me. It's not.
I know.
But until they have like 24-hour coverage of their wedding day, like they did for the Royals, it's not the engagement or the wedding of the century. But it's probably top five. I don't know what else is up there, but it's probably maybe top three. But it's not beating William and Harry.
I also,
as far as worldwide attention goes.
I also read this. I said everyone needs to see a live stream of Jason Kelce's best man speech. And how drunk? How
I'm
drunk
sure you'll see. You don't have to worry. 100% chance they'll be filming it, or you'll see it somewhere. But there's no pressure. I mean, what do you think? Girls have raised their expectations?
No. It's just like their girls' favorite artists all of a sudden got engaged, and now they want to do the same.
Mm. All right.
They want samesies.
I would. You mean they're turning the heat on? Like
yes,
if you
the
have
heat.
Okay, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
the heat's
not
turned
like,
on.
Yeah, not like
I got you
got to go.
You better propose to me. Everyone's yes. getting married except
yes.
for me. I got you.
Yes,
okay.
It's not. I need an 8-carat engagement ring, and we got to do this at the Botanical Gardens. Mm-hmm. It's the heat.
I got you.
Hey, I bet you Travis Kelce loves don't sleep energy drink, just like we do. Drabby has his sugar free one right now. I'm getting ready to do a don't sleep energy shot. Support me. Support Drabby. Go to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. When you get there, use that promo code Biddy. Save 10% on every single order. Need a quick boost for your workout? Get a 12-ounce sugar-free can. Get 2 ounces in the morning when you're on your commute. Get a 2 ounce shot for that. Get some swag when you're in there at don'tsleepenergy.com. Get a t-shirt, get a hoodie. We love Mike. Don't Sleep makes you great. Hey, when we come back, I want to have a discussion, have a few nice words to say about our friend and colleague, Rick Snyder.
Absolutely. Be right back.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 184. Starting on the back half here, I want to give some thoughts about our friend, about our colleague, Junkies guest Rick Snyder, covered the Redskins for many, many, many years, kind of almost like a Renaissance man. He's you know how we always talk about, you know, a little about a lot? I felt like that was yeah. Rick. He epitomized that. He's doing tours throughout D.C., a history buff, a Redskins history buff. He's always seemed like he could always decipher all of the political jargon and innuendo that has to deal with stadiums being built. Just an overall awesome guest, an awesome person on the Junkies.
Yeah, really tough to deal with. You know, Rick, big part of our lives for the last, you know, I've been on the show since 2012, Matt longer, you know, big part of our lives. And Rick, Rick wasn't one of those guests that you would only talk to or text when they would come on the show, like a lot of the guys are.
Mm-hmm.
Rick would text you. He would give you, you know, check in, give you your thoughts on stuff. Whatever he was working on, he would ask for your opinion on stuff, or if he would listen to the show all the time and text about stuff he heard on the mm-hmm. show. Just a really interesting guy. You know, and Rick had talked so many times about, oh, I'm going to retire, or I'm slowing down, I'm not going to be. He had so many plans of stuff he wanted to do, and I just feel so sad for him. You know, hopefully, and obviously in a better place, but that he didn't get to finish his vision for the rest of his life. You know, moved into the new home, just a real family guy too. Loved his kids and his grandkids and everything that he had going on over there. But one of the things I take some pride in here is that I think Rick, even though he had this whole career covering the Redskins, he was really synonymous with the Junkies as well. And I think not taking, you know, no problems with the other shows or anything like that, but the other shows back in the day, like nobody really had Rick on, I don't think a lot. Like the Junkies had Rick on.
You know, I wanted to say that you kind of beat me to it. Mm-hmm. I felt like in a way with Pete and also with John, Rick really got the show and the Junkies and Rick clicked. And I feel like there's Rick had this kind of this great dry sense of humor that I think the guys really appreciated and was funny. And he was really underrated off the cuff.
Yeah.
Rick, and he was able to kind of fire back at the guys if the guys were razzing on him. And it was a really good fit.
I know that Grant and Chris Russell were really good friends with him, or really close to him as well. You know, we have the relationship with 980 as well. But I just felt like Rick, and he had been coming on the Junkies for so long, and it was such a regular person on the show, even during the off season because we did a lot of horse racing stuff with him, that he was just one of our guys. And yeah, man, it's just so hard to like even process the losses that we've had here on the station. I mean, if you really think about it, three guys who received who were employees or received payment from Odyssey or the Fan in 2024 are no longer alive, and it's a total mind F. Pete died in January, who was an employee of the station. Feinstein, who was you know, a regular guest on our show and paid to come on, passed away in March. And now Rick. And Rick was a columnist. He was a columnist for 106.7 The Fan for like 5 years, the last five yeah. years. Heading into, I don't think he did it this year, but that's also another thing about Rick. Rick didn't have to come on this past year. Like, he wasn't being paid by us anymore.
No.
Like, he just kept coming on. And Rick would come on at 6:45 in the morning. There's only a couple of guests that would come on that early.
And as producers, we appreciate that.
Like, Rick, yeah, I mean, he didn't have to do that. He could have just been like everyone else and be like, oh, it's 9 a.m. available. No, Rick got it. Like, he was awesome. I'm going to miss that guy a lot. And I know a lot of people had special relationships with him as well. And I feel sorry for them. I mean, big loss for everybody.
I don't have the tally in front of me, but I feel like Rick was a successful horse handicapper on our show. I think many times he picked the winners.
Yeah, one of the last times this past year, we did not have him on. I don't know if it was just an oversight or we just weren't really thinking about it. And I'm guessing he's talking about Neil here. And maybe, you know, a lot of times Neil would come on, maybe talk caps, and he would talk horse racing at the same time if it all lined up.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely said something to me about how we screwed up by not having him on.
Oh, no. Why? Because he picked a long shot and it came through?
Yeah, he sent me a text that basically said, you screwed up by having the Washington Post guy on. You should have had me. I nailed the winner and the top two or three guys or whatever it was, horses. And
Did Rick do a horse racing beat when they used to cover it? Was he on that beat? Like, how did he become so
proficient?
I
have no idea. I don't know. I think it was a hobby of his, and he was just always out of the track.
I thought he covered it.
He may have. Or maybe he did that. Like, that was a part time thing on the side.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the post. I have no idea. Just know that he loved the horses. By the way, it's going to be literally impossible for us to watch horse race and not think about Rick and Pete for the rest of my life. Every time I see a horse race, I will think of those two guys. I mean, even before, I'll be honest, like 2 weeks ago, even before this happened, I was watching a horse race in Charlestown on the TV at the bar. And I'm watching, I look up and see Charlestown. I look up and I go, there's the race at Charlestown. There's Pete's probably up there smiling somewhere watching this. And me, Valdez, and Pete, we bought a thoroughbred one time to go race at Charlestown. It's just a total bummer.
Yeah, it stinks.
And a big void left on the show, for sure.
Especially
when it comes to
the legislation stuff when it comes to the stadium.
The commanders or the
he understood it. It's a hard thing to understand. Mm-hmm. And he would explain it to us and to the guys like they're fifth graders. So.
Yep. Rest in peace to Rick and, condolences to his family. I don't know. It's just awful.
Yeah, I know. All right. It's not easy to transition from that. But, I was thinking about you a lot. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Ocean City,
mm.
and you've been on your kick lately about friendship and hanging out,
yeah,
and all that good stuff. And I caught myself thinking about you a lot.
Drab was on to something.
No, I'd say no. Drab would love this. Maybe not taking off your shirt at the beach.
Were you taking off your shirt?
Yeah, I took off my shirt.
Mm. All right.
I got no shame in doing it. Now, my buddy Wacky Jackie didn't take his shirt off once.
And he's
thinner than me. Trust me, I don't care.
You're used to it.
I'm used to it. I'll look like a beached whale out there. doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I have no qualms about it. Nobody insecurity. Well,
why do you think? What about just the shirt taken off?
What made you think of me? No, I was thinking about you because it was the type of bonding that you're into lately. Just uh-huh. guys being dudes, everyone having a good time.
Yeah.
going out to secrets at night to people watch and bop around with the live music band and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Having like one, we did one like. Family style dinner
in the house.
In the house where we're all cooking and everything.
Those are always great times.
Yeah. And then we had one very nice dinner out where we all got dressed up and everything. And I just thought that's, I said, this is what Drab's seeking right now. And I was thinking at some point, maybe the boys need to do a beach trip together.
Yeah, I don't want to turn that down. I would love that. Who are the boys though?
Me, you, Mar.
Okay.
All right.
We kind of ran out of time here.
I know. I'm saying next year. Yeah, we'll pencil this in.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on
something big for next year.
I know we're short on time, but mm-hmm. I'm just trying to tell you to keep it in the back of your head.
All right. What about Ocean City in like November? Do people do that?
Oh, I actually love the off season. You would love you might love the off season because it's still kind of nice. I mean, you're not going to go out to the beach and go get a tan, so maybe you'll like that more. But there's definitely people still in town. The weather's definitely still good.
Hoodie weather.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I told you I don't like the beach. I don't like sitting out on the beach anyway. That's not my thing.
I know. That's why you mm-hmm. would. That's why you would like November. What was I going to say? Oh, so and then the boys snuck out to go play putt putt when we're supposed to secure our spot on the beach. We're supposed to beat the girls there.
Uh-huh. What time did you play putt putt at?
Oh, like 11 o'clock noon.
Oh, okay. All right, I gotcha.
Yeah. So we're supposed to beat them there to go to the beach to set up all the chairs and everything.
Aren't all the chairs set up well, like all the spots taken at 7 a.m.?
No, not up at where we went on 76th Street.
Oh, okay.
So that place, there's lighter foot traffic when you're mm-hmm. down that 36th Street. Okay. So if you wake up later or you want to like do stuff in the
morning,
you
got to go higher up.
You go higher up on the street. Mm-hmm. Now
did you guys all stay in Ocean Pines?
Yeah. All mm-hmm. in the same house. It was like a frat house. It felt silly.
Anybody pass out drunk for the night? Like pass out on the couch without making it to their bed or something like that?
No,
or just disappear?
No.
Crash landings?
No, none of that. Although I will say, when we got back one night, I think it was Friday night, when we got back from the bar, we were all sitting around smoking and joking, and we put on YouTube. And we watched this. I want Biddy's to go back and do this. We watched that Howard Stern Butterface contest.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the whole segment. It went viral.
A couple weeks ago.
Where
I can't believe that people are allowed to do this.
Yeah. So we watched the entire 50-minute special
really?
That they had on Howard TV.
Uh-huh.
It was a pay-per-view. And we were dying laughing. Still holds up. We were cracking up.
I've only seen that one clip of that one girl that everyone's
saying. I'll show you some screen grab. Hold on. Look at that. Here, I want you to watch.
Are you going
to
spoil the big reveals?
I'll show you one of the reveals. Here.
Oh my God.
Tell me that's not funny. It's an hour of that.
How many girls are there on this thing?
There's like seven.
Oh my God, that looks like Sergeant Slaughter.
I know.
Look at that chin.
It was hysterical.
I
know.
I'm glad that, at least the latest rumor is that Howard is coming back. Part of me doesn't want to see that show die, even though it might have changed a lot over the years, like we've talked about. There's still some comfort in knowing that show's on the air.
One more thing about I know. Tell me
I'm going to go watch that.
I'm begging people to watch it. You're gonna slap your knee. And then one more thing I wanted to mention is, I had a DM when I was down in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I want you to read this DM.
From John. Valdez, you got to come to Secrets on Saturday. My band, the Pop Rocks DC, is playing on the beach stage from 5 to 9. I'm a big Junkies listener every day on the Odyssey app.
I know.
Oh, did you?
So I met up.
We do a lot of 2000s pop punk. Love that. Some newer pop, some 90s and 80s rock.
So I met up with him now
at Secrets.
So I met up with him at Secrets. I didn't get there till after his performance. So I didn't see him live, but I was mm-hmm. looking all through their Instagram and everything, watching them. It sounds like silly beach music. All right.
How much Blink 182? Oh,
I mean,
did he play?
So much Fallout Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to do? We need to do a house party, and then we get them to play our house party, where all the boys hang out. They're in the backyard.
But this got to be in Ocean City.
No, he's local here, I think.
Oh,
like he'll play the bullpen.
Oh, okay.
And he's down for it. He said he's going
to... Why doesn't he play the Gatsby party? That's what he did for.
Our New Year's Gatsby
party. Our New Year's Gatsby party outside in Mikey snots his grass by the goats.
All right, well, I have him hired for that.
All right. I'd love that. Does he listen to Bit Season or Junkies Only? He didn't say anything about Bit Season?
I think he mentioned Bit Season. By the time we were hanging out, we had a little too much.
Does he have a silly rock voice?
He does. He's got a silly rock look as well.
What's the name of it? Pop Rocks?
Yeah, Pop Rocks.
All right, I love that. We probably could use them a lot. Might need them for a Christmas show. Might need them for a beach show.
I would love that.
Who knows?
Our own personal use?
Yeah. Love that. You were too hammered to remember?
No, I remember some of it. I'm pretty sure he listens to the Junks more so than...
Gotcha. What does this mean? You have it written down here, air checking EB. What is that about?
I guess you could call it my tilt of the week.
Oh, okay.
I've noticed this week, and maybe he's been doing it a lot, but I've noticed this idiosyncrasy, this kind of verbal clutch that Eric has of late.
Crutch.
What did I say?
Clutch.
I said clutch?
Yeah.
Okay. Crutch. Sorry. Uh-huh. Excuse me. Trust me, I'm no perfect broadcaster. let me just point that out right there.
Come on.
But he's been doing this a lot, especially this week, I'm sorry because you're not going to unhear it after this.
Do I? Okay, hold on. I don't even know what it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I know he's doing that, but like he's just that just to me sounds like he's unprepared about something.
I don't know. Someone's chiming in about something, and it's almost like he feels the need to
say something, but doesn't
know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why? I mean, how many times would he have to do that before you noticed?
I need to start a counter. I swear to God, it was 30 times yesterday.
Really?
It was a lot. And I know, I get it. I say a lot. Or speaking of, I get it.
Sometimes I wish you wouldn't tell me these things. Because now that's all I'm going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? My friend's tilt of the week was, it's not even mine, but...
Oh, I love this.
This guy, he...
We have friend submissions.
People chime in with their tilt of the week.
Is tilt of the week hot?
It might be hot.
Did we stumble into something?
My friend sent me a DM, and he was like angry. And to me, this is no big deal. I wouldn't even think twice about this. But he was upset. And maybe I'll have to say something on air next time you guys hear about this. He was upset as a dad. Okay.
Okay.
That JP is doing the carpool. I mean, we're just getting carpool updates every day.
You know, he took him for ice cream.
Yes, I do. That he was really upset at JP for overstuffing his car with children and having a child in the front seat of the car. And he said, I can't believe no one else has picked up on this and these other parents are letting it happen. But it's definitely against the law. And he goes, why is JP putting a 7-year-old in the front seat of his car?
What? So hold on. I know that there is a law about putting toddlers in the front.
I didn't even think about it at the time. No, you have to be like pretty sure a certain age and in a boost before you can sit in the front. Now, I don't know Maryland's. I don't know, but I'm sure it's similar. Usually it's like 12 and below or something. You can't have children sitting in the front seat. But those kids are not anywhere near, like, Isabella's, I don't know, 8?
I thought she was 6 or something.
And she might, no, I think she's older than 6 now. I think she's 8. But he was really upset. Really, like to me, I was like, who cares? Like, what do you do? Live your life. What do you?
I know.
But he was like,
what's the house, a mile down the street?
No, they're going all over town. He's taking them to ice cream. I don't know. He was like, I can't believe JP's putting other kids' children or his own kids in the front seat of his car. And I'm like, well, bro, I did that a billion times. I never even thought about sitting in the back seat if it was just me and my parents or something like that.
I know.
But he was like, no, dude.
I've been in the front seat of a Datsun a billion times.
But he was like, that was 30 years ago, dude. You don't do that anymore. You learn these things. And that, also, it's against the law. I'm like, well, it doesn't really bother me, but if that's your tilt of the week, I'll pass it on.
You know what?
If anyone else had picked up on that, let me know. Or if my friend's just a complete weirdo.
Hey, speaking of which, you know what I picked up on? That same story was him getting angry at a parent for flaming him about
yeah, you know, can JP stop? I mean, it's called self-awareness. JP can't complain about other people talking too much. He can't complain about his friend or the other parent. He can't complain about Roger talking too much. I just watched JP flame CK in his office for 30 minutes the other day about Faith Restored. And CK, I don't think, looked up from his computer screen one time. And JP couldn't pick up on the social clue at all that CK wasn't that interested in what he was saying.
Or he had something busy.
Or he was pressing. Busy early, yeah.
He had something pressing.
I mean, he was in there talking to him for 30 minutes.
Hey, can I say something without you getting angry?
Possibly. No, I'm not guaranteeing that.
Okay. Well, you jarred my memory.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned CK and having something to do, I was semi-annoyed. All right. Semi-annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have our break. We're getting ready to come back from, and I'm sitting there. I'm trying to pull dumb RG3 audio about Shedeur Sanders and Mar. You two bozos. You and Mar are sitting there going, "The banner's out!" as loud as possible. And I'm trying to listen to the.
Why don't you just tell us to go? You were out there.
You were so fucking loud that I couldn't. That I still couldn't even hear it.
You know what? You can I say something about you guys are all too cool for school.
What do you mean?
That annoyed me.
No, I was annoyed I couldn't be a part of it.
No, you could have. You and the four junkies are too cool to like make fun of yourself or look stupid or you know.
I had zero practice. You were practicing when I was trying to do something. I wasn't included in your
sulking about something or I don't know.
I didn't get any of the
point of it was you didn't need to practice. Like we should have had Cakes do one on the spot, but the junkies they didn't want to do it. It's fine. Like I'll take the ADs.
You had it covered, but I didn't get to participate.
I didn't even know Mar was going to. Mar brought it up by himself because he clearly wanted to do it. I certainly wasn't going to bring it up. We were just screwing around, being boys together during the breaks.
I was upset that I wasn't included in the boys club because I'm sitting there.
You're always listening. Included. I know, we're talking about.
I listened to RG3 talk.
Well, we were doing our ump call for like 45 minutes, if not longer. I know you weren't pulling the audio that long. You could have joined in at any time. But then maybe you missed out originally and you were pouting about it or something. I don't know.
Well, I wasn't included.
And you weren't you an umpire or something?
No, I was a ref. I wasn't an umpire. I do think I umped. I was. You're
kind of built like a behind the plate umpire. You got that big chest. Big shoulders.
You know those chest protectors that used to hold back in the day?
Yeah,
I don't need one of those. I think I was a field ump. You remember they used to do those?
Yeah. You always need at least two umpires.
I was like a field ump. Bulk!
They never put you behind home plate?
No, because I think I did it with my dad. My dad would ump for side cash sometimes. Okay. And then he would bring me or my brother to do the field umps.
Yeah.
So that he didn't have to like go run down the line or anything like that.
Yeah, I stand by that. Every guy, you need some signature things. What were the things that we were talking about?
A strike three call.
Every guy got to have a strike three call.
I had a great charge call that I always loved.
A charge call, yeah.
Where you point, then you point the other way like that.
I think every guy needs like an imitation, a batter swing, of course, or a left-handed swing.
A pitching windup.
Pitching windup for sure. Yeah, you can have a little kick, but there's also other things. Golf swing, no. What else is there, Matt? There's definitely something else that we're missing.
What about like a forehand?
No. Because most people don't.
Jump shot?
I said jump shot, but really, that's not it either. Oh, like everyone needs a drop back.
What about a TD celebration?
No, that's kind of lame. Because I don't do dance. You know what I mean? Like,
what about a first down point?
First down point, that's a good one. But everyone needs to be a quarterback. Like, you got to have your drop back down set. You got to get your audible. Mm-hmm. You take the snap. and roll out and fling it. What else? By the way, there's some great impersonators on Instagram and TikTok impersonating like former quarterbacks.
Yeah, you've been big. Like,
I don't know. It's in my algorithm. I'm watching all these guys like pretend to be Aaron Rodgers. There's one guy, goofy guy, that like comes out with all this Al Michaels Sunday Night Football audio, and he like runs out of the bushes in these uniforms and mimics Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and it's like the Sunday Night Football intros. He does Ray Lewis. It's pretty good. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, I wasn't that.
All right. Well, maybe next week next time there's an umpiring controversy, we'll get your guys' calls. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
What else we got? Is that it today?
That's it. That's it for today.
Close enough. Close enough. All right, guys. Let's have a good good week. Survivor pool next week, so we'll have more on that.
Yeah. Also, I believe next week is our anniversary, Drab.
The fourth anniversary of starting bit season. Absolutely. So we'll have more on that. And the crab kickoff, if we put that together in time.
Yeah. TBD.
All right, guys. Let's have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.